بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, respected travelers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Every day, including probably this morning, we have read something. So we read different things. So whether there are signs that we find on the road, newspapers, magazines, books, emails, articles, there are many different things that come across our eyes, that we read, that we process, and then we move on. Now everything that we read, we know, is made up of letters. And we know that individual letters mean nothing, right? So if somebody were to put, well, unless there's a special meaning associated with that letter, okay? So if you pick up a food product and you see a K on it or a U with a circle around it, you know that that symbol means that it's kosher, right? But generally, when you see a letter on its own, it doesn't mean anything. But when these letters are put together and we have a word, the word means something. But still the meaning is incomplete unless these words have been composed, unless they have been put together in a sentence. Even if there are a few words together and it's a phrase and it's an incomplete sentence, it may not really make sense. So once you have a complete sentence and these words and letters have come together in that form, in that particular form, then they actually start meaning something. And based on the different writings that we read and different things that we come across, some of them might bore us, some of them might we might find enjoyable, others might simply just give us information, and others may be very, very inspiring. So it's clear that not all writers, not all authors are equal, and certainly not all of their works and not all of their compositions and their writings are equal. Shakespeare, Charles Dickens, and other famous writers became famous. And we talk about them and we know them today. Why? Because their compositions, their writings, using the same words and the same letters that are available to everyone, were works that rose above others. They were recognized, there was something special about them, there was something that made them unique. And that is why they are famous and they are known today. We talk about poetry, and especially in Urdu, in South Asia, right? The poetry of Iqbal is very famous. Right, again, using the same words, the same letters, right, that are available to everyone. It's not like these are exclusive words or exclusive letters, but it's just how that they have been put together, how they have been presented, how they have been composed, which makes it special and makes it stand out. These were works, and these were people, which were known to be very intelligent, right, very knowledgeable, very intelligent in their own way. And that is why, one of the reasons, again, that they are famous and they are known today. But their knowledge, right, their brain power was still not unlimited, right? It was still limited. Regardless of how intelligent a person is, regardless of how smart a person considered themselves to be, our knowledge as human beings is still very, very, very limited. Because we are human beings. And as human beings, we make mistakes. And no human being can have complete understanding of every single matter, cannot have complete expertise in every single area. That we know. So then just imagine how special and how great the words of the one who made everything and the one who knows everything and is absolutely perfect, the one who makes no mistakes, the one who knows every single detail about every single little thing that happened, that is happening, and that is going to happen. Imagine the power and the beauty and the greatness and the perfectness of such a being. The Quran that sits on our shelves at home in the masjid is not just a book. It comes in the form of a book. But it's not just a book. Because these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to us. These words are incredibly powerful. These words are incredibly powerful. And what we see sitting on the shelf between those two covers, right? The book is not just a compilation of simple words, right? It has an immense amount of power. It has an immense amount of power that sits within those two covers. So powerful that these are the words that within minutes led Umar from the depths of hatred and disbelief, right? Hatred for Islam, hatred for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in a matter of a few minutes turned him into an ardent defender of Islam. Right? Now of course, this is through the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This is through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what it shows us is the effect that a few words of the Quran can have on a person's heart. Imagine how hard of a heart, how spiritually hard of a heart one must have to be so fed up with the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be so fed up by the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that one decides to just go and put an end to all of this. What was thought to be nonsense. Right? And to have a heart like that, that is that hard in hatred, with hatred and disbelief, to become so soft, right? So soft that it actually accepts exactly the very things which it was hating a few moments ago. Something powerful must have happened during those few minutes to make it go from that one state to the other extreme. And this was through the power of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the disbelievers of Mecca, right, who were ardent in their disbelief, who were very adamant about their disbelief. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sitting in front of the Kaaba, just imagine, right? So you see the Kaaba, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting in front of the Kaaba and he's reciting Surah An-Najm. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recites the surah, and at the end of the surah is an ayah of prostration, right? An ayah of sujood. And this was actually the first ayah, the first verse upon which sujood was revealed. Okay, so the first ayah of prostration, the first ayah of sujood that was revealed was the ayah at the end of the surah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recites the ayah, the verse, and he falls into prostration. Right, and it said that something strange happens, and that is that the rest of the disbelievers, right, who are again so adamant in their disbelief, they all fall into prostration as well. They all fall into prostration as well. They don't do it out of belief, right? But again, it gives you an example of the power of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the powers of the Quran. That is why. Right, because these words are coming from the most powerful, because these words are coming from the most knowledgeable and the most merciful, that there are great rewards for simply reciting this book and even listening to it, and even listening to the words of the Creator. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Man qara'a harfan min kitabillah falahu hasana." وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. Look how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is towards the believers. That whoever recites a letter from the book of Allah, he will be credited with a good deed. Right? But when it comes to the currency of the good deeds, right, the currency of the good deeds which are done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't just get one for one. Right? You don't get, what do they call it? BOGO nowadays, right? Buy one, get one free? No. Okay? BOGO, right? You don't get that. Right? You do one, you get 10. You do one, you get 10. Not just 2 for 1, or 3 for 1, or 4 for 1. You get 10 for 1. But on the other hand, right, when a person considers doing an evil deed and actually goes ahead and commits it, then the sin for that, that accumulates, is just 1. For that, there's no 2 for 1, 3 for 1, no. It's only 1. But when it comes to a good deed, it's 10 for 1. So similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever recites a letter from the book of Allah, he will be credited with a good deed. وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. And a good deed gets a tenfold reward. gets a tenfold reward. And then the Prophet ﷺ clarified. He clarified the statement. He says, لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف. Okay? I do not say that ألف لام ميم is one letter. No. But ألف is one letter. ولكن ألف حرف. ولام حرف وميم حرف. So if somebody with sincerity recites just simply ألف لام ميم, right there is 30 rewards. 30 right there. For reciting three letters, 30 rewards. So there is definitely a great reward for reciting the Qur'an, and simply reciting the words of the Qur'an is also a source of great virtue. Now every believer, of course, in order to be a believer, you have to believe in the Qur'an. So every believer believes in the Qur'an, and we like to show, and we like to think that we have high regard for it, for the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, we'll be very careful about how we treat the Qur'an, that it stays, you know, on the highest shelf, right? So that it stays on a high shelf above all other books. You know, we will recite it in Ramadan when there is an occasion. So for example, if someone passes away, you want to make sure that we get together to recite the Qur'an. When we are having an event, especially when we are having an event, no matter what happens in the event afterwards, but we have to start with the verses of the Qur'an. And, you know, and for many of us, we are very insistent upon our children reciting the recitation of the Qur'an, completing the recitation of the Qur'an once. Okay, once. Completing from beginning to end, once. Again, what happens after that, if the child knows anything, knows how to recite, cares about the Qur'an, it doesn't matter, but we want to finish once. And we want to have a celebration after that. Okay, don't get me wrong, I'm not discouraging people from reciting the Qur'an. What I'm saying is, recite it once, continue reciting it for the rest of your lives. Don't focus on just completing it once. And definitely, the Qur'an is a blessed book, and a book that brings blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ, that this is a blessed book that we have revealed to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is a blessed book we have revealed to you. So it is definitely a blessed book. And it certainly brings blessings as well, as a source of blessings and a source of attaining and attracting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and we reveal of the Qur'an that which is a healing and a mercy for the believers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about specifically the tranquility and the peace and blessings that descend upon a group of people who are reciting the Qur'an. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. Right? This is a great status for those, a great piece of good news, right? That no people gather in one of the houses of Allah. Prophet ﷺ was saying that no people gather in one of the houses of Allah reciting the book of Allah and studying it together. Right? So this is a great act of virtue, to congregate in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside the masjid and to recite the Qur'an and study it together. Except that what happens, the Prophet ﷺ says, tranquility descends upon them and the mercy encompasses them and the angels surround them and Allah mentions them to those who are with Him. Right? So it's not a minor thing to recite the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And simply reciting it is an act of great virtue. Coming together to study it, to recite it together, that also is an act of great virtue. So these are the characteristics, the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the Qur'an. So it's definitely a book of blessings and a book of mercies, a book of mercy, and we have to treat it as such. And there is no dispute about respecting the Qur'an. Right? There is no dispute among anyone that the Qur'an must be respected. Right? It must be treated in a good manner. It must be handled with respect. It should be carried even with respect as well. But we also have to remember that the purpose of the Qur'an, the reason why the Qur'an was revealed, was not so that it could be a good source of, you know, verses that could be recited at the opening of events, for example. Okay? It was not revealed just for blessings. It was not revealed so that we could recite it when someone passes away. Or, you know, to recite at ceremonies and special occasions. This was not the primary purpose of the revelation of the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ, that this is a blessed book we have revealed to you, He also gives a reason. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, so that they deliberate on its verses. So that they deliberate. And so that the people of understanding may heed to advice. So this is a book, right, which is certainly blessed, which certainly has, you know, has mercy that comes with it, and a cure for all of our problems, and so on and so forth. Yet the primary purpose of the Qur'an is so that people deliberate on its verses, so that we understand it, we reflect upon its meaning, and so that we take and we heed the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed inside it. You know, in the beginning of the Qur'an, Surah Al-Baqarah, what do we read? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that this is a book that has no doubt in it, a guidance for the God-fearing. Right? It meant to be a source of guidance. And it is only going to be a source of guidance when it is recited, when we make an attempt to try to understand it, and when we reflect upon what it says. You know, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, you know, when we compare ourselves and we compare, you know, how they would approach things, there's such a difference, but it's good to learn and to study their lives, because we get an indication, an idea of how they would approach things and how differently we approach them. Imam Malik relates, anna Abdullah ibn Umar makatha ala surah al-Baqarah ثمانية سنين يتعلمها, that Abdullah bin Umar رضي الله عنهما, when he was learning Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay, so we know that Surah Al-Baqarah is the longest surah in the Quran, right? Yet still, you know, when we read it, right, we might, if you really put our effort into it, you know, we might finish it within a few days. If you're memorizing it, for students who are memorizing, you know, it's approximately what, about 50 pages or so, approximately. Right, so it might take you a couple of months, maybe, to memorize it, for those who are doing, you know, memorizing a page a day. Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhu, Imam Malik says, he spent 8 years. 8 years learning Surah Al-Baqarah. Nowadays, if a student takes 4 years, like I did, right, to memorize the Quran, alhamdulillah, you know, we think he's slow. Right? Well, I consider myself to be a slow folk. Okay? Because there were kids who came after me who took maybe a year or 2 years sometimes to memorize the Qur'an. But Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, he spent 8 years. 8 years learning Surah Al-Baqarah. And the commentators say that this wasn't because he was inept or he was not able to learn Surah Al-Baqarah, and that he was stuck and it just kept taking him 8 years just to get through and he kept forgetting. No. But rather, 8 years, why? Because he was not only reciting it, right, and zooming through it, right? So a lot of times when you're reading, we just want to get over it quickly, right? So we just start reading as fast as we can. No. So he recited properly, right? Make sure that he was reciting it in the way that it ought to be recited. But more importantly, also trying to learn every single commandment, every single injunction, anything that had to do with the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, right? And not only that, but also applying it as well. Not only learning them, but also applying it as well. And thus it took him 8 years just to get through Surah Al-Baqarah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also tells us, يُؤْتَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَأَهْلِهِ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا تَخْتُمُهُ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةُ وَآلِ عِمْرَانُ تُحَاجَّانِ عَنْ صَاحِبِهِمَا, that the Qur'an and its people who applied it, right? Not just the people who read it, but the Qur'an and its people who applied it, who applied the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be brought on the day of resurrection, preceded with Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran. Okay, so now, we need to understand. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to imagine how, for example, here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that the Qur'an will come with these surahs at the forefront because they're in the beginning of the Qur'an. arguing on behalf of those who applied them in their lives. Okay, so we can imagine, okay, we can think, and you might question that, okay, how is it possible? You know, how is the Qur'an going to be talking? How is it going to look like to see the Qur'an with these two surahs at the front coming forward and arguing and talking and so on, right? You have to understand that the reality of the hereafter is not the same reality as we are experiencing in this world. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in the Qur'an that on the Day of Judgment, right, the hands of people will speak. Right, the hands, the different parts of the bodies, right? The eyes will speak, the hands will speak, the feet will speak, and talk about, you know, what they were made to do by a particular person. Right? So we know that the reality of the hereafter, of the existence of the hereafter, is not the same as the reality that we are experiencing on earth right now. Okay? So therefore, the Quran will be given the ability to speak through the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran and its people who applied it, they will be brought on the Day of Resurrection, you know, and at the lead will be Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, and they will argue on behalf of those who apply them in their lives. So this gives us an indication as to how or what type of relationship we should have with the Qur'an. You know, sometimes we find extremes. Sometimes we find people on extremes. So for some, it may just be all about reciting. All about reciting, right? So you want to recite the Qur'an properly, or not even perhaps, but just want to continue reciting its words without any focus on the meaning or the understanding of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or there will be a total disregard for recitation and simply a focus on the meaning and the translation. And no focus on actually reciting it and trying to recite it nicely. Our focus should be to do all of these things. Our focus should be to do all of these things. So we start with learning how to recite it properly, right? Because when we have a translation of the Qur'an, it is a translation of the Qur'an. It is not the Qur'an. The Qur'an was revealed in Arabic, and the Qur'an, which has been protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in Arabic. Okay, what we find are translations can vary, certainly according, you know, to the interpreter and the choice of their words and so on. So the translation of the Qur'an is just that. It's a translation of the Qur'an, but it is not the Qur'an itself. And we want to learn how to recite the Qur'an itself. The Qur'an is revealed in Arabic. So therefore, we try to learn how to recite it properly. The Prophet ﷺ said, الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَهُوَ مَاهِرٌ بِهِ مَعَ السَّفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْبَرَرَةِ, that the one who is proficient in the recitation of the Qur'an will be with the honorable and obedient scribes, the angels. The one who is proficient in the recitation of the Qur'an will be with whom? With the honorable and obedient scribes, the angels. Okay, so now you're thinking, okay, what if I don't know how to recite the Qur'an proficiently? Right? What if Arabic is not my language? And I feel that I have to struggle. I have to struggle to recite the Qur'an. Then there's good news for you. Okay, there's good news for you. You don't need to be discouraged. Okay? You don't need to be discouraged and feel like, well, I'm not an Arab, so I guess that's too bad for me. No. Okay? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving you a piece of good news. وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ لَهُ أَجْرًا. And he who recites the Qur'an and finds it difficult to recite, for whatever reason, right? So sometimes, if you come from a particular part of the world, it is hard to pronounce some of the letters in the Arabic language, right? Some people, depending on where they, you know, where they're from, where they've grown up, sometimes it's very, very hard to correctly pronounce some of the letters of the Arabic language as they ought to be pronounced in the recitation of the Qur'an. Sometimes it just takes us a long time to learn the different rules of reciting the Qur'an, the rules of tajweed, so on. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "And he who recites the Qur'an and finds it difficult to recite," right? Basically what he's saying is don't give up. Right? Don't just be like, oh, well, it's not for me, and just, you know, put it back on the shelf and that's it. No. He who recites the Qur'an and finds it difficult to recite, doing his best to recite it in the best way possible, will have a double reward. Will have a double reward. And remember, this is after the 10 for 1 deal. Right? فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا, right? So if you recite one letter of the Qur'an, You get 10 times reward, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Okay, so that's there already. Then on top of that, if you have difficulty in reciting the Qur'an, and if you struggle and you try your best to recite it properly, then you get another double. Okay, then you get a 2-for-1. Right? So you already had 10, it becomes 20. Right? It becomes 20. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that no one should feel that they're not able or they're not good enough to recite the Qur'an. Everyone should make an attempt to recite the Qur'an, and everyone should make an attempt to recite the Qur'an properly. And when we recite the Qur'an, right, especially when we are getting our children to recite, and this is an important message for the parents, because I teach your children, right? I teach your children, we have other teachers as well who teach the children, mashallah, who come to our evening and weekend school, and alhamdulillah, our enrollment currently is over 100 students. So we have approximately 105 or 107 students who are registered. They don't come every day, except they all come on Saturday, alhamdulillah, because if they came every day, I'm not sure what would happen. With me, anyway. Just kidding. So sometimes the focus is on getting the child to complete the recitation of the Qur'an at least once, which I talked about earlier, and to do it very quickly. Okay? And to do it very quickly. So the child is doing 5 lines, a lesson every class. You know, they sort of want to go ahead. Some kids are good, they just want less and less every day. I said, no, we can't do that either. Okay? Because they want to just take it easy, right? But a lot of times, the focus is on getting more and more and more and more done. Why? Because the focus is on completing the Qur'an no matter what. Okay, just completing the recitation once. You have to understand that the point is not for our children to just complete the Qur'an from cover to cover. They start at, you know, Surah Fatiha, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalikal Kitab La Rayba Fih, they finish at Nas, and we're done, okay, we have a party, and that's it. No, the focus is on trying to get them to recite the Qur'an as best as possible. The focus is on trying to get them to recite the Qur'an as beautifully as possible, as best as possible. This is what our focus is on. So if it takes a while, right, if it takes a while to finish the Qur'an, that's okay. That's okay, because what we're trying to get them to do is to recite it nicely and to recite it properly. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the reason I mention that right now, مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that he does not recite the Qur'an in a pleasant tone is not of us. And when he says that is not of us, means that he is not following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in regard to the recitation of the Qur'an. So he's telling us to recite this Qur'an as much as possible in a sweet and touching voice, because the recitation of the Qur'an in this manner enhances its effects. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an the qualities of the believers. Right? And he says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, he tells us that, you know, the believers are those, right, that when they hear the remembrance of Allah, the dhikr of Allah, you know, their hearts feel something. Their hearts are shaken. They feel something inside their hearts. And when the verses of Allah, right, the verses of the Qur'an are recited, right, the verses, the ayat are recited, their iman increases, right? The strength of their iman goes up. They feel something inside their hearts and it has an effect, right? It brings about a change in the strength, the level of their iman. And this is so true because, alhamdulillah, when we were in Madinatul Munawwara about a month ago, or a bit more than a month now, time flies. Subhanallah, praying Fajr in Masjid al-Nabawi behind one of the imams, Sheikh Salah al-Budayt, the first time I did that in person, subhanallah, it was an out of this world experience, right? Part of it possibly had to do with just the power of the sound system, right? So it's just so loud that it, you know, that when he's reciting, you just feel it like vibrating inside your body. But really, even, you know, I mean, these could be verses of the Qur'an which I've heard, you know, and read maybe 1,000 times before, right, or hundreds of times before. But the fact that he was reciting it, right, in Fajr, in Masjid al-Nabawi, just had a completely different feel to it, right? And you could just feel, really, you know, your iman, right, your strength of the iman, your khushu', you know, your feeling of your concentration in the prayer just totally go to a different level. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given different people different abilities, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us to recite the Qur'an in a pleasant tone. Now that doesn't mean that we have to recite it, you know, as a professional qari recite it. No, it doesn't mean that. right? Because not everyone has a nice voice, right? Like sometimes I would try to, you know, try to copy someone or do something, and it just wouldn't work, right? Because I just felt like I couldn't do it. So that's okay. But we have to try our best to our ability, right? The best of our ability to recite it in as pleasantly as possible. And doing it pleasantly, of course, means doing it slowly as well. You know, for those of us who are interested in memorizing the Quran, or who have children who are interested in memorizing, you know, one of the biggest mistakes we make, and that I made when I was memorizing, was to try to recite it very quickly, very fast. Okay? So I try to recite it very fast, try to read it very fast, and I thought that was something good. Right? The fact that I could recite an entire juz in 10 minutes, I thought that was very, you know, I accomplished something. But really, what I realized afterwards was that if you learn it fast, right, if you memorize it very, very fast, it's very hard to slow down. It's very, very hard to slow down, right? As opposed to if you actually memorize it slowly, in a nice way, then you can read it a bit, you know, a bit quickly if you need to sometimes, but you can certainly then continue to recite it slowly as well, which is how it actually should be recited. So a serious effort should be made to recite the Quran properly with all of its rules. To learn it, to memorize it, and especially listen to it if you don't have a teacher. Right? Don't underestimate the power of just listening to the Quran. Right? Especially for our children. If you want your children to improve in their recitation, get a CD, get a Quran CD. I gave some out last year, I didn't get a chance this year. You know, or make some CDs, download MP3s, whatever it takes. Okay, and listen to the proper recitation of the Quran, even if you don't understand what it means, even if you don't know that particular portion, it will still help, inshallah, in your pronunciation and the way you pronounce. And it's much, much harder to correct the afterwards. So just as speed was an issue, right? If somebody memorizes something incorrectly, right, with a mistake, it's going to take 10 times the effort in trying to fix it, as opposed to if greater effort was put in the beginning to try to memorize it properly. So these are just some things. And of course we want to read the translation of the Quran, right? Try to understand it to the best of our ability. Read it with commentary. Even for those whose language is Arabic and you understand, you still want to look at the tafsir, the commentaries. You want to learn from a teacher, right? You want to listen to lectures of those who are knowledgeable and who are talking about the Quran. And most importantly, you want to apply the lessons in these teachings. Now, a word of caution, that reading and understanding the Quran is important. But when you do that, don't start deriving juristic rulings. When you start doing that, when you start reading the Quran and the translation and the meaning, don't derive juristic rulings based on one verse that you may come across. Right? What we want to do is we want to reflect on the meaning of the Quran. We want to derive lessons or derive guidance on how, you know, we can improve ourselves, how we can improve our attitudes, how we can improve our dealings, and learn from these lessons and the different stories that Allah talks about in the Quran. This is all good, but we don't want to derive religious rulings regarding what is haram, what is halal, what is fard, unless they are very, very clear, because religious rulings are not, for the most part, are not derived by jurists from simply one verse, right? By cherry-picking one verse or one hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, right? These rulings are based on the entire compendium of teachings, right? And everything has to be looked at then. These rulings are derived depending on the circumstances, the situation, and there's many other things that go, the context and all of those things, okay? So be very careful about that. And for any of the portions that you have memorized, recite them regularly. This is very important. You know, even today we get children, right, who come to our classes. They'll say, well, Imam, you know, I memorized the entire 30th juz, right? The entire last portion of the Quran in the past. You know, we even had a party for it, but now I forgot it. Now I forgot it to the point that I can't even, you know, the child is even having difficulty just reading it by looking as well, okay? So this happens with children, it happens with adults, and the reason for that is not reciting it regularly. The Prophet ﷺ actually talks about this. He says, تَعَاهَدُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِي لَهُوَ أَشَدُّ تَفَلُّتَ مِنَ الْإِبِلِ فِي عُقْلِهَا. The Prophet ﷺ says that read the Qur'an regularly by the one in whose hand Muhammad's soul is. So by Allah, it escapes from memory faster than a camel does from its tying ropes. Okay? So if a camel breaks away, right? Camel doesn't want to hang around there, right? And wait for the next, you know, rider and the next load to come on him. He's going to be out of there as soon as possible, right? So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that the Qur'an is in the same way. That if you leave it for a little bit, if you memorize it and you just leave it for a bit, it's going to leave pretty fast. So Just listen to the Quran, learn to recite it properly, try to memorize it, study its meaning, its commentary through reliable tafsirs or different reliable teachers. We don't want to be known as the deserters of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. That, O my Lord, verily my people deserted this Quran. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will complain, will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, that verily my people, they deserted the Quran. They left the Quran. Right? We don't want to be those people about whom Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this means, and this has different ways how a person can desert the Quran. So first is by not listening to it, by not believing in it. Secondly, by not following, you know, or paying heed to the, not acting upon it, not paying any heed to the commandments and the laws that are laid down in the Quran. And thirdly, by not pondering and reflecting and understanding or attempting to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being those who are the deserters of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to recite the Quran regularly, to recite it properly, to act upon its meaning, to understand the true message of the Quran, and to make an intercessor in our favor and not against us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that and grant us everything that is good. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.